Thanks for stopping by for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, here with Lou Ann Crane, and our host, as always, is psychologist and best-selling author Dr. James Dobson.
And to get us started today, Ryan, it would be highly appropriate to hear a quote from one of your dad's favorite historical figures, Winston Churchill. He said in one of his speeches, "Never give in. Never, 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 never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in, except to convictions of honor and good sense."
Well, I think one of the reasons why my dad likes that quote so much, Lou Ann, is because it captures the way he feels about making a stand in our culture for truth and righteousness. Mm-hmm. When it comes to defending what he believes, he and all of us here at Family Talk will never, ever give up.
Well, your dad was right here in this studio last time, once again making that stand. He was addressing some of the recent decisions made by the current administration that greatly impact our nation's military.
And he is so concerned about what's going on. Our national defense is at risk because of decisions being made by civilian leadership. It really could be a crisis point. And if anyone missed our discussion last time, they can get caught up at drjamesdobson.org.
But to recap very quickly for our listeners, at the end of January, Defense Secretary Leon Panetta lifted the ban on women serving in more than 1,400 frontline jobs and elite commando positions. But what is not being reported in the media is that this isn't just about allowing women into direct ground combat positions. Many women could be forced into these roles.
Oh, it's breathtaking, and we have a lot more information to cover today. So let's quickly introduce our guest. Elaine Donnelly joined us by phone. She's the founder and president of the Center for Military Readiness, and she also served on the Presidential Commission on the Assignment of Women in the Armed Forces in 1992.
Her credentials are really impeccable, and she truly is considered an expert on this topic. We will hear from Elaine Donnelly right after our host, Dr. Dobson, sets up this important discussion.
Elaine, you are the only person that I have heard address a concern that I've had that maybe outranks all the other things that we've talked about. And it has to do with motherhood. There's a reason why men have done the fighting for 5,000 years. It's because women bear babies. That's the next generation. And the relationship between mothers and their children is unique. And the contribution that's made, especially when children are very young, cannot be replaced. And when you take those women away from their children, especially if it's not voluntary, and put them in a possible deadly situation, which is what combat is. I've done a lot of reading about combat. I haven't experienced it, but I have been in the military, and I know something about what combat means. To put women in those kind of situations and their children are waiting at home for them to return, and they may not return. There's something wrong with that.
Well, we need to think this through as a nation. Why are we doing this? And I think in the future, we're going to have to find leaders in Congress and certainly in the presidential race that will defend sound policy in our military.
But it is very, very difficult for men to talk about a woman's issue, isn't it?
It is, but it needs to be addressed as a military issue, one in which both women and men would be negatively affected. It's not just civilian women who need to worry about the issue of registration for the draft. If we undermine the all-volunteer force, our national security will be at greater risk. And yes, our potential adversaries, watching that, they don't have fairness imposed in their military in North Korea or Iran or in some of the forces in Northern Africa that we may find ourselves in wars with. But our military is the best in the world because we put our priorities straight, at least we have in the past. We say equal opportunity and careers are important, but the needs of the military must come first. That was the principle on which the Presidential Commission decided every issue. But now this administration is turning that upside down. They're saying the military is there to provide careers, that equal opportunity is more important than the needs of the military. And they are catering to every political faction that has an agenda, well, different than the military, the LGBT faction, feminists, the diversity crowd, people who don't understand what the military is there for. All of these factors cause me great concern. and it's something that the members of Congress need to take action on.
Well, this is why your voice is so important, mm-hmm. because you can say things with credibility that men are afraid to address, especially congressmen who, you know, above all else, want to remain in power, or at least that's my perspective on it. Elaine, you will remember this, I'm sure. I doubt if my two colleagues here will, because they're younger. In the 1970s, Phyllis Schlafly was able to defeat the ERA, the Equal Rights Amendment, largely yes. on this issue of women being forced into combat.
Yes, it was one of many issues. There were a whole array of laws and regulations that benefited
this is the
and supported
one that,
women.
This is the one that got the traction.
It certainly did.
Yeah.
And it's what got me interested in all of these issues, because then my daughters, who were quite young at the time, I did not want them subject to selected service obligations. But I also am very concerned because of the politics of the Pentagon. The culture of the military is what's at risk here. Culture means nothing more complicated than how things are done.
Mm-hmm.
If things are done to advance combat effectiveness and readiness and discipline and morale, that's why we have the strongest military in the world. But if military culture is diverted to serve other agendas, egalitarianism, to put other considerations first, then we would be like many of the European militaries, such as the Netherlands, Denmark, Australia, countries that are good allies, but they do not have the same combat obligations and leadership responsibilities that the American military has. But I do want to say something about Britain, because Britain did something very interesting. In 1978 and 79, they tried an experiment where they trained male and female trainees together, expected women to do exactly the same thing as the men in training. Well, it only lasted 18 months, and the reason was because injuries among the women just skyrocketed, and the men were not being challenged enough. Now, that's probably our closest ally, and they do a lot of fighting in the war, at least they have since 9/11. We also know there were tests done with hundreds of male and female Marines to test common tasks. Before the test even began, they took three of the toughest exercises out, and then they weakened or watered down the other three. All right, where's the data? We haven't seen the data resulting from that test. We know that at the infantry officer course at Quantico, we had two women who volunteered to try going through the infantry course. And you have to praise them for their courage in at least trying. But they did not succeed. One woman, the first woman, washed out the first day. The other lasted about a week. Again, what they did there, they did not lower the standards on the infantry officer course, but the pressures over the time, if that course were open to women in a big way, of course they will have to change that as well under the next commandant. So, you see, this is all incremental. It's sort of like a frog in the pot mm-hmm. kind of strategy. Put Congress to sleep, get everybody comfortable, make things happen before Congress has a chance to act. This is the way the administration is operating, and that's why, again, I'm very alarmed, because it's easy to be misled.
I'm sitting here so profoundly impacted by Dr. Dobson's comment a minute ago that we're taking these young women of childbearing years and sending them to the front line. I just go even way beyond policy, and the cynic in me says that there is a direct assault on the value of me as a woman bearing and raising my children, and this is just one more step down that slope.
Well, Luann, you're absolutely right. No one puts down wives and mothers like feminists do.
Mm.
This has always been the case. The role of a mother and child has always been devalued. And here I'm going to speak, this is something new since 20 years. Now there is a little girl in my life, my granddaughter.
Mm.
And to watch her and her mother, I cannot understand how difficult, or I can't understand, but it's also to experience it would be so painful. To leave a little child for many months at a time, it's a huge sacrifice. And yes, it's hard for fathers as well, but the disproportionate burden is on mothers and certainly on children who miss their mothers. What children need, and Dr. Dobson, you say this more than anyone, you're the expert in this field, children need their moms, and they need dads too. But to pretend that motherhood and fatherhood is not that important, I just don't buy it. And yes, we respect women in the military. They make choices that are tough. Many have no other choice for economic reasons. They deserve support, but we don't need to make their life more difficult, more dangerous, imposing more stress on their families. We need to do everything we can to make that less likely rather than more so.
You know, the very argument is specious that says that the possibility of dying or being horribly disabled is an equal opportunity employment. I mean, the very notion of that ought to stand before us. And the people who are listening today, I do hope that they will think again if they're considering this to be a matter of equal rights. It's not equal rights. Defending the country is not an equal opportunity employment.
Well, that's exactly right. Our very
existence depends on it.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And here's another misunderstanding. Some people have been told and believe that, well, we need this so that women will get more promotions. This is a fallacy because Pentagon records have shown for decades women are promoted at rates equal to or faster than men. That's a fact. And the Pentagon admitted it just as recent as February of last year. Now, then the question becomes, well, why don't we have as many 3- and 4-star generals who are women? Where's the female Colin Powell? All right, there is a good reason. It's the same reason that we don't have as many CEOs in civilian industry as well, because women make family choices. When you get to the rank of colonel or captain in the Navy, many women realize that the sacrifices that are involved in going to 1, 2, and 3, and 4-star rank are so great, many of them decide not to pursue that avenue in their career. And that is not, I don't see that as a problem, but the feminists do. All they care about is having a female chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Well, there's a simple answer to that. The current chairman of the Joint Chiefs, General Martin Dempsey, can take the stars off his shoulders. He can go to the president and say, Mr. President, here is a very fine officer here, a woman who can take my place. And I think that would be an honorable thing to do. In the same way, the chief of staff of the Army, he can do that, General Ray Odierno. He's all for women in combat. He says he wants women on the Ranger course. No, let's not put women on the Ranger course. If you do that, you're going to have to lower the standard because that's the only way that women can get through it without breaking bones or experiencing debilitating injuries that are just simply unacceptable. So let's not change the Ranger course, General Odierno. If you want to surrender your stars so that another woman can take your place, I think that would be fine. Let's leave the institution of the military the best that it is and not impose on it this social agenda.
Well, let me give an argument that drives the other side crazy, but it's valid. There is not a single woman anywhere in an NBA team.
Yes.
There is not a single woman in the NFL. There's not a single woman in the hockey leagues. In fact, almost all of the Olympic events are separated by gender, including table tennis.
Yes.
I mean, when it comes to physical strength and competition, women and men are not put head to head because they are different. They're different physically.
You're right. That argument cannot be answered because no matter how superb our athletes are, and we watched in awe at the competitions that occurred in London with the Olympics just a few months ago, but the women do not compete against the men. If they did, they would not win any medals. And the NFL does not impose diversity on their teams. They don't have female players on the team. They don't do that because they want to win games. But why should the military, the military that defends the country, why should it have to pay the price to socially experiment with these theories of gender equality? Well, there's a reason why it's happening, because the military is subject to the orders of civilian leadership. That's why. And the flawed leadership that we're getting from this president should not be the last word members of Congress have to intervene because they have the constitutional right. Under Article 1, Section 8 of the United States Constitution, members of Congress make policy for the military, and it's time that they step up to do that. Because, you know, football is great for entertainment, but we don't ask players. Well, let's put it this way. Players who engage in non-lethal combat on the gridiron do so to win, and they play hard. But what we're asking our military to do is to impose a social agenda in lethal combat. People can get killed. And to do so under the orders of civilian leadership that doesn't seem to understand what the military is for. Again, Congress has to intervene here. Members of your audience and people that they also get involved need to say to their member of Congress, what are you going to do about this? There needs to be some leadership, yes, from women in Congress or the Senate, but also from people who understand, who are supportive of the military. We need to hear from them, and it should be bipartisan, by the way. There's no reason why members of the Democratic Party, especially those with combat experience, why they should not step up and say, we're going to do something about this, too.
Elaine, my concern, though, is that those congressmen are believing these polls that we see. And there's many
yes.
listeners who've seen recent Fox News polls that do indicate that the American public is in large favor of this. Speak to
right.
that.
And the key word that makes that happen is the word allow. Should women be allowed to be in combat? Well, people say, well, if they really want it, why not? So, of course, you get a very high rating on that. But when you take away the word allow, and when you realize and when you rephrase the question, should women be obligated to serve in direct ground combat? And then when you define what that means, it's more than being in danger, direct ground combat, infantry battalions attack the enemy, then the support drops dramatically. Mm. And in the military, it drops even more because people understand what it means. Mm. But even there, it's hard to get an exact reading. And that's why I'm so curious to know why has the Marine Corps not released the survey questions, which the only thing we know, there was not strong support for women being assigned to direct ground combat. If there had been in that survey, you would have read about it. It would have been headline news. But for some reason, the Marines have not released the results of that survey. And maybe someday soon the truth will come out. But I think definitions, the word, the permissive word allowed, really does skew these results quite a bit.
Well, I think that's why I suspect that the Commandant of the Marine Corps won't release the results of that study because he reports directly to the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and of course they report to the President of the United States. So all of these politically correct policies begin with Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Elaine, I appreciate the courage that you've showed mm-hmm. on this mm-hmm. issue and Don't Ask, Don't Tell and the other politically correct matters that are just flooding the media now. What kind of criticism and vilification have you gone through for taking the stands that you do?
Well, I get the same type of reaction from adversaries that every other major leader in conservative politics gets. This is something that comes with the territory, but it's something that I'm still willing to experience because the people in the military, they don't get to speak out. They really don't. So this is my way of serving my country. This is something that we all need to do. Center for Military Readiness is a small organization. Our mission is to provide information. Yes, we do need support because we share information with a number of large groups. But there are a lot of large groups that do need to get involved as well. There is a way, as I said, for members of Congress to intervene, but it's going to take some heavy lifting. It's going to be difficult for them. They're going to have to fight the usual media horde. But they can do it if they decide to and if they believe that the people back home want them to.
Elaine, we cannot leave this subject without talking about the Secretary of Defense, Senator Hagel, who has just been confirmed. My heart sunk when I heard that. And he
yes.
has the power, will have the power, to speak on behalf of the president, of course, and change everything in the military, not only the things we've talked about here, but many other politically correct issues and ideas. Give us your take on it.
Well, I am quite dismayed by this nomination and confirmation as well. I think Senator Hagel does represent what the president wants to do. That's why he was selected. Elections have consequences. People voted for this president, and this is the result that we've seen. But still, Congress has the power under the Constitution to make policy for the military. And as discouraging as it is to see an appointee who is as unqualified and who is so supportive of ideology, certainly extending benefits to same-sex couples in the military at huge, untold cost. The idea of, yes, putting women into direct ground combat, treating everything as an equal opportunity issue, this man will do what the president wants him to do. That's why he was selected. But ultimately, Congress has to assert itself for legal reasons, because everything will be subject to court review, judicial review, but because it's the right thing to do. We cannot just abandon the military and walk away and say, well, what's the use? We lost on other previous issues. This is not the time to give up or to abandon our military to the likes of leaders such as this.
How can people get in touch with your organization, the Center for Military Readiness, and how can they support you?
Well, you go to our webpage, 3ws.cmrlink.org, and you'll see there are a number of ways to communicate with us. For active duty military people, people who cannot speak with their name being identified, there's a spot there we call confidential contact. There's also a way to contribute. We're tax deductible, 501c3, and we really do need financial support. The first thing that I hope people will do is look at the articles. We have brand new articles that involve research that is new, based on what is happening right now. You don't have to be an expert on military issues to understand this. What is happening right now is just plain wrong. And we need to have sound priorities in our military. That's what members of Congress should insist upon.
Well, you've said an awful lot, Elaine, and it's information that our listeners, I know, will appreciate. There's a reason why we call you when we're faced with another of these issues, because you have the best understanding and ability to articulate the things that we believe. And again, I appreciate your standing for controversial issues. You happen to be right. I have declared it so. And it's a pleasure to have you on our program again.
Well, I'm honored and flattered that by what you have said. And no one is a more staunch advocate of families in America than you are. And military families, they are under great stress. They deserve our support. They don't need to be used in a vast social experiment. Again, civilians can show support in this very unique area of public policy. We need to arm ourselves. We need to be prepared and cut through all the misinformation and get something done that's constructive.
Elaine, thank you so much for being with us again. I can guarantee you, if you will accept, we will do it again.
I hope so. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, it has certainly been our privilege to have Mrs. Elaine Donnelly join us by phone these past 2 days. And I know you are ready to make your voice heard on this issue, to contact your congressman and let them know your opinion about how best to keep our military strong. Go online to drjamesdobson.org to get that information.
And if you're ready to call right now, we have the Capitol Hill switchboard number. It's area code 202-224-3121. Again, 202-224-3121. 224-3121. 1-800-273-8121. And if you'd like to connect with our guest's organization, the Center for Military Readiness, to learn more about the challenges facing U.S. military, or even give to their work, you can find a link at drjamesdobson.org.
And we would even encourage those of you who are friends with servicemen and servicewomen to share this broadcast with them. A great way to do so is by posting a link to this audio on your Facebook page or your Twitter stream. You can even, of course, call us for a complimentary CD to pass along to them. The phone number for that, 877-732-6825.
And keep your eyes peeled for my dad's March newsletter. It's releasing soon. Elaine Donnelly is a featured guest and writes about this topic. If you're not yet on our mailing list, be sure to call us because you don't want to miss an issue. One last time, you can reach us at 877-732-6825.
Thanks again for staying with us these past 2 days and educating yourself on this important topic and helping others do the same. We invite you to be with us next time when we'll address another critical cultural issue, and that is the prevalence of pornography in our culture and its threat to our families.
It's a conversation no parent should miss. That's next time on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.